Kyle Fansler from World Soccer Talk, and this episode of the World Soccer Talk podcast is presented by Sling. Using Sling, you can watch the conclusion to the Premier League and Ligue 1, as well as the upcoming Women's World Cup this summer. Again, you can watch all of that on Sling. American fans of the Bundesliga will be familiar with Archie Rintutt, who is a sideline reporter and an analyst on ESPN's coverage of the Bundesliga. So today, I have the privilege of talking to Archie about his career and what makes the Bundesliga so special. So Archie, I'm going to start with that question right there. You're obviously very involved with the Bundesliga. You're there on the ground. What makes the Bundesliga so special, and why is that your focus? Is it something that you were just there to start with, and that's kind of where your career developed, or was that really always a passion for you to end up in the German top flight?
Hey, so it was an accident, a happy accident, I would say. I was somebody who was very much a child of the Premier League and grew up in England, never had any German relations or roots at all. And I think the fortune I had was coming to Germany on a school trip once upon a time. And just whilst I was meant to be listening to the historical features of Nuremberg, I instead saw people floating towards the stadium there, the Max Morlock Stadion. And I was like 15 at the time and thought, as much as I respect history, this looks much more interesting to me right now, and I would rather be heading towards this stadium. And it ended 1-1 between Nuremberg and Hansa Rostock that day in February 2008. Not that we got to go see the game, but something, I don't know, clicked in my head of, oh, so there's football in other countries too, huh? Like, sure, of course I knew that, but being able to just kind of see the, I don't know, tradition of it kind of started to get me hooked. And then I had more free time than I'd ever had before at university, and suddenly you're starting to watch Mainz against Freiburg on a Friday night, and instead of going out, and then the next thing you know, you're like, okay, I guess I'm quite into this now. So what makes the Bundesliga special for me is the classic reasons of the relationship between the fans and their clubs, how the fans are the clubs. And also, I'd say just when you grow up with a kind of football which is so diametrically opposed to the Bundesliga, it makes it even more interesting to find out that it works differently, but why does it work differently? And just seeing that whole, all those comparisons and the contrasts between the two footballing landscapes and the two countries has been a joy to dive into, and remains that as well, because when I first started even working on it in a professional basis, I thought I knew a lot. And every year since then has been a gentle reminder, sometimes not so gentle, that I don't, and that it keeps me curious, and that's the best thing.
So everyone's got that professional focus, and for you, that professional focus kind of aligns with your personal focus, which is the Bundesliga. But having grown up following the Premier League, like you say, do you ever try to, or I'm sure you do still follow it to a certain extent, especially when there's all these European interlinks between leagues. But I'm curious, do you still watch the Premier League? Maybe have a favorite club there that you just follow passionately?
I am a Fulham supporter, so whenever Fulham are in the Premier League, I naturally watch more Premier League. But it's difficult for me to watch it live at a weekend because I'm usually on the road on a Saturday or a Sunday. And when I'm done with watching the required amount of Bundesliga that I need to for work, then, yeah, I will follow. I follow what's happening a lot. I'll watch highlights and whatnot, but I don't follow it anywhere near the same way that I would have, say, when I was at uni or at school even, and growing up with it. And yeah, when Fulham fell out of the division in 2014, that also led to a drop off of my interest, because primarily I follow Fulham, and that's where that's where my interest comes from in the Premier League as much as anything. So yeah.
Well, I'm sure a lot of American fans will be happy to know that you're a Fulham fan, because what Brian McBride, Clint Dempsey, and what more recently Tim Ream and Anthony Robinson still, have all been involved.
Still, I don't know if you can see that, but he's still my background. So, still proud of that.
An American icon and a Fulham icon to a certain extent, I'm sure.
Big time.
Well, Archie, about your work in the Bundesliga, something that always stands out for me when I watch the Bundesliga and you're covering it, is that you're much more relaxed than a lot of other analysts or pitch side reporters might be. They're very factual, but you're someone that maybe might bring in that more entertainment side, you know, kind of make things more casual. I'm curious, I have two questions on this. The first one is, why do you do that? Is it to make it more casual, more enjoyable for viewers?
I think it's who I am as well, and it's sticking to the way that I am, with probably just jazzed up a little bit more, because that's what happens in television. I think it can show the more extreme sides of your personality. But also, I just think football should be fun. And that's also what I want to keep with whenever I'm on air and doing something, because I think a lot of the time I see football being presented as this very serious thing, and I'm like, look, obviously it has its significance, but ultimately I think that there's nothing better than having a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon and being able to watch a game. And I think that that's also probably the attitude of most fans watching at home. I think there are distinctions to be made between a fan watching at home, who I think will watch a game probably more casually on the whole, mm-hmm. and a fan in the stadium. And yeah, my job is to try and talk to those people. And I've also just been fortunate that I've worked with people who have allowed me that freedom of expression and have not put me in a corset and said, you need to be doing it like this. So yeah, I just wanted to do things a bit differently, and have been allowed to find my own way. So yeah. And also working on the European football show on BT Sport in the UK, that was a big influence for me, and seeing particularly how smooth an operator somebody like James Richardson was, and is, and working with him at close hand, and just seeing how if he maybe fluffed a line at some point that he was trying to say, how smoothly he'd be able to work around that. And that was one of the things that really put an impression on me as well, just seeing that he has this ability to maneuver his way out of situations where I think that the straighter that you play things, then the greater the height that you're setting yourself up to fall from. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you are more relaxed, then yeah, it's an easier pickup from there, shall we say. So yeah, and there are so many things in life that I think are serious. Mm-hmm. I don't think football should be one of them all the time. Right. So right. Yeah.
Archie, do you think you could, and I don't like much dealing with hypothetical situations, but when you talk about the Premier League, would you say it's such a different kind of environment to the Bundesliga? Say you were covering the Premier League, and for obviously in the United States, that belongs to NBC. They're much more, you know, straightforward, as you say, much more factual. Do you think you could use this, you know, easygoing persona that you use in your Bundesliga coverage in the Premier League as effectively?
I think so, but I think it's a completely, it would be a different thing for me were I ever to do that, because the part of it for me is having that natural curiosity about Germany and the Bundesliga. And I see it as kind of my job to, you know, walk through the cultural aspects as well, along with our lead commentator, Derek Ray, as well, that I think we both see that as something which is important. So I think it would just be very different. It would be very different. Of course, like, I would retain elements in this hypothetical environment of the way I do things, but I think that there is no one size fits all approach. I think you have a core idea, but you also are trying to fit whatever that approach, whatever that coverage demands. So yeah, I think that it would just probably be a bit different.
You mentioned Derek Ray, who I've talked to a couple of times. I love talking to him every time I get to do that. He's told me all his stories about the people he's talked to, the games he's covered, and I want to ask that question to you because you've been doing this for some time now, and I want to ask, who are the best, or, trying to think of the best way to phrase it, your most enjoyable coaches or players or anybody in the game that you've had the opportunity to get to know and maybe just interview?
So many. I've been fortunate in that I've not really had, I can barely remember any real negative experiences that I've had of interviewing people. And I think it's funny because there's just amazing moments that I've been able to witness in stadiums where I've not interviewed actually after a game, but I've still been working there. Like, I mean, it's a year to the day since Eintracht Frankfurt won the Europa League. And that for me was one of the most incredible things to witness, not just the game in Sevilla, but their whole run with, going to Barcelona and taking 30,000 fans with them. So there's, the interviews and the build up to those days were cool. And, the relationship that I've developed with coaches and how you see them start to open up to you a bit more, the more that you get to talk to them as well, is something that I've also enjoyed. It's been a lot of fun working with Edin Terzic this season, the Borussia Dortmund coach, and before he left Bayern as well, Julian Nagelsmann. I always found somebody who was very agreeable and willing to answer a lot and give a lot of insight into his work. So yeah, there are so many to choose from that I struggle just at this one moment to players who are also real characters. This season, Geraldo Becker of Union Berlin, I found incredibly relaxed, even though he just lost 2-1 against Borussia Dortmund, and talking about his fruit eating habits, which I found a lot of fun as well. So yeah, there's so many to choose from that I struggle to narrow it down to a couple, as I think you can tell.
Those relationships with coaches, for example, your Julian Nagelsmann, your Borussia Dortmund head coaches, how do you develop that relationship? Is it something where you had the opportunity to just, talk to them once and then had a good conversation with them then, and then the next one's even better and even better? Do you ever find that's a struggle, or is it something that just comes naturally to you, maybe with specifically coaches in the Bundesliga?
I try and pick up on the signals, on the little cues, on noticing the kind of alleyways that they don't mind going down, noticing when they shut off certain topics, because most of the time I've only got 3 or 4 questions max. Mm-hmm. And in that time, sometimes you don't have enough things to talk about that you need to milk out a few points. Sometimes you have so many things that you want to ask that you have to just be brutal and say, okay, I'm going to ask this and this. So I think you're always keeping, I'm always keeping that at the forefront of my mind of being, editorially as correct as possible when it comes to that. I think that, developing a relationship with anybody is the same. You need to listen. And I have the advantage that I get to listen back in my own time and watch it back and maybe think, what is it that I haven't asked there? And I see it over a season that I treat the interviews with the managers, because I get a lot of chances to do that. I want to try and paint as big a picture as possible over the season. And that's done with small strokes through the season and trying to touch on different areas and not always coming back to the same question. And I think when your approach is wanting to know stuff that you don't know, then largely it's easier. I don't think I try not to just search for a headline every time. I think sometimes there's a crossover where naturally the question that you are asking will be that as well. But I want to, just try and find out more and put myself in their shoes. So, I don't frame it in terms of developing a relationship, but at the same time, I do see it as being a long-term project that you're working. And it is not sometimes worth going for that, particularly when you're working with one or two clubs pretty much every week. It is sometimes worth holding back on, say, being a bit more clinical and ruthless in your questioning than if you are working with somebody who where you're going to see them maybe once a season, and like there's a lower risk there. So I think diplomacy helps, and also being in Germany, where the natural tone of questions can be a bit harsher, the fact that I come from an English environment where we tread a little bit lighter also helps.
Archie, I want to ask about being in Germany, because for so many American broadcasters of the sport, they call games from studios in the United States, so they might not get that full picture of the stadium. But since you were there, you allow us to kind of feel that emotion in stadiums. And I want to ask you, how important do you think it is, not just in the Bundesliga, but for the sport everywhere, how important is it to have that person or that even that group maybe that is able to show the environment, show the emotion of the game? And that's so important in the Bundesliga, I feel like, because the fans are so involved. But for you, you're there. How important is that role for American audiences watching soccer?
I think it's huge, because you're showing people what they can't see on the Camera One feed that they're getting. And it is those little details about spotting things that are not shown on the feed that I think can help really maximize the experience of anybody watching. And also, it is certainly some self-justification from my point of view, but I do think you want to encourage people to go live it at some point as well. I guess I'm almost part of I'm almost part of the tourism industry in that sense. But no, I think it's important, because you want to tell stories, and the stories are often, you're always getting a director's cut of how the game looks, and I will have a different one just with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think that you just want to have different details and, budget allowing for that, which I think is the big thing that everybody in TV is fighting for, right, and fighting to preserve. Then yeah, for sure. When it's possible and when it's justified. And I just feel very fortunate that I'm sent to as many games as I am with ESPN, and that they are as supportive in that regard, because as the bags under my eyes tell you about my weekend travels, there's a lot of travel, and I love getting to see these different places and go to these different places, it opens it up. So I think it's look, on a personal level, I love it, but I would also say that it just gives you that extra feel of you're there. And I think that's what live sport is about.
Mm-hmm. Now, Archie, I'll wrap up with this. For someone that may not follow the Bundesliga actively, but they'll watch it if it's on, that's a pretty casual thing here in the United States. What would you say is the biggest draw for the Bundesliga? And that doesn't have to be specifically this season when you have, you know, a title battle, which is something that you don't see every year in Germany. It doesn't have to be, you know, a story like Union Berlin, but just overall, what is the biggest draw for you to German soccer?
The attitude of the supporters that they are the clubs and it is not about the owners. It is about the way that this community is at the heart of the football, and that despite whatever the result may be, no one is walking away from the stadium always thinking, oh, I mean, my team sucks, this and that. Like, they may think that, but at the heart of that, there is this deeper connection with their club, and that is the thing that matters most, is that they keep that in their hands and that they contribute towards that. And no matter how many times Bayern Munich win the title, that they will still have that for themselves. And it makes the days when they do have success that little bit sweeter. I saw that with Eintracht Frankfurt in person.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think, being able to feel that, sure, is, you know, you feel part of a family and when supporting a team, I think in all kinds of ways, but I think I've not seen anything this visceral when I was in England than when I was in Germany. And yeah, I think that it's when you look at the sorts of people and stories that you see of those owning teams in the Premier League, it shows that there's another way and that they have managed to remain pretty competitive still.
Mm-hmm.
despite their limitations. So yeah, different stories and just, yeah, a different well and a different way of seeing things. So yeah, come join.
Yeah, well, Archie, we always look forward to watching you and the Bundesliga. I know the season's coming to a close here soon, but like I said, always a pleasure to watch you, and really want to thank you for coming on and talking to us.
Carl, no problem. Thanks. Thanks. Too.